All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There's no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Welcome to episode 1130 of the Geek News Central podcast. Hey, everyone, got a great show lined up for you today. It's Monday, July 18th. Of course, this show is sponsored in part by our good friends at GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today, at GeekNewsCentral.com/Insider or just PayPal.me/GeekNews. You can always pick up Ohana gear at CafePress.com/Ohana store. That's like I started to choke at the beginning of the show. Hey, everyone, welcome. Welcome to the Geek News Central podcast for all the longtime listeners and viewers. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the Ohana. And if you're brand new to the show, I want to welcome to the Geek News Central podcast. You want to make this your home. Lots of tech to talk about tonight. Lots to share. But the first things first, again, if you're brand new, we want you to head on over to geeknewscentral.com. And once you're over there, it's real easy to subscribe to the show. You'll see right there on the right-hand column of the website. You can subscribe via on iTunes, Android, via email, Google Play, Stitcher, via standard RSS feed. And there's lots of other options there. For those of you that may not know how to subscribe to a podcast, you can check that out. And of course, a little bit further down the page is a link to our newsletter. Well, once you get signed up for that as well. The newsletter really contains everything I'm going to talk about during the show today. And I send it out immediately following the show and with all the links to all the articles that I cover. So we want you to get subscribed. That way you're reminded that there is a new show on the street. And that number two, you get the show notes delivered direct to your inbox. Plus there's a link there to play the media. Or if you just want to subscribe via email, again, right, do it on the right column of the website, and we'll send you an email when there's a new show out with the link to it as well. So lots going on, and of course, lots to share tonight. But first and foremost, if you have comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com is the place to go to, or the email to use. I can't talk to save my life tonight. And then, of course, at Geek News on Twitter is a place to follow me on Twitter. This show, of course, and I can be found on Google Plus, on Facebook. You can listen to this show on the Roku, Apple TV. You can listen on the Amazon Echo by telling Alexa to play the latest edition of this show's name. You can listen on Stitcher or watch or listen on Blueberry.com. And of course, don't forget about our partner shows. No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff, Health Take Weekly with Jamie Davis, The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, the Pro Gear site with the GNC team, and of course, the new media show with myself and Mr. Rob Greenlee. All can be found on geeknewscentral.com, all the links to all those sites. Subscribe to all of our partner sites. They put out a lot of great content that really kind of fills in the blanks, the stuff that I don't cover here, and vice versa. So definitely get subscribed to those shows. Of course, our sponsor of the show, longtime running sponsor, 11 years having taken care of us here, is GoDaddy.com. And got lots of deals, as always. Stuff for you guys to get hooked up on to save money. All my GoDaddy deals can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. And when you get over to that page, really the codes are right there for you to use, an explanation of what the discounts are. You always want to, of course, double check once you lock in a discount code. You want to make sure you know exactly what that service is going to revert to after you have, expired whatever the deal is. Most of the discount deals are on hosting accounts where you get $1 a month economy, $1 a month managed WordPress hosting, $1 a month website builder for the first 12 months. And all those come with a free domain. and some other offers as well. So definitely check that out. You can get a .com for 99 cents. You can get 30% off on new product purchases. Again, all these codes, again, are at geekinthecentral.com/GoDaddy. You want to thank GoDaddy for being, again, sponsor here of the show. Let me just say, you guys are rocking it. You're rocking it. We're heading towards a record month from everything I can see today. And we've still got 12 days at least. How many days are there in July? I should know this off the top of my head. So we've got 13 days or actually maybe 12 left per se. And we're already at the same level we were last month as far as new customer deals and that type of stuff. So I'm just saying thanks, really from the bottom of my heart, for really supporting the sponsor here. It is greatly appreciated. You guys are, I'm getting some emails from you. You're talking about some websites and some blogs and some podcasts you're thinking about starting. And so we're hitting home to many of you that listen here. So again, thank you for using my codes. Share them with your friends, family members, people that you know. Tweet those code. Basically tweet the page link out to your friends. And remember, these promo codes keep my podcast online and my writing team employed, along with keeping my small team going, and plus keeps my family fed. So by supporting us that way, you're really helping us a great deal. So again, big thanks to everyone that is hitting those codes up this month. It's huge. I'm just blown away. I really, really am. All right, so let me go through my short stack of stuff for you tonight. And I spent the weekend, well, actually, I came to a realization. Oh, boy. Well, I'll just get into this now. I want to talk about the situation down in Baton Rouge a little bit, but and I know this is a tech show, but for those of you new, this is my first 10 or 15 minutes. I just get to kind of chat about whatever. And but Friday, really had a couple of pound my head up against wall moments, and my team is, we're on chat, and we're, you know, I'm chatting back and forth, and I fundamentally made a decision to change a few things in the way we do business over at Raw Voice Blueberry in regards specifically to advertising. And I don't know if we'll have it ready by the end of the week, but it's a dramatic change for us. Space changed. What happens is content creators say, oh yeah, I want an ad deal. I'm interested in the vendor you're talking to. Sounds good. And then when it times to pull the trigger, I'm going on vacation, or I changed my mind, and it's causing, you know, some challenges. So we're making some changes. And for those that really want to work with this, so we'll it's going to be great. And for those that are kind of iffy, things will change. But just have to. It's the changing times. So something I have to do to protect my relationship with vendors and a whole bunch of other stuff. And I know I'm getting deeper here than I probably should on this stuff. But so I spent the weekend kind of mulling that over in my head, along with going, into starting to do some write-ups and a new web page we're going to put up and some other stuff. So that kind of had me focus, because I got to be able to describe and explain exactly why we're making these changes and the rationale behind it and everything else. And it's easy to type it out, but it could end up being a book. And I don't want to sound like I'm whining, because I'm not, but it's just something fundamental I have to do a change on. But anyway, worked on that this weekend. Saturday, of course, did the new media show with Rob Greenlee. Him and I really went through and did a complete podcast movement recap, talking about a lot of things going on in space. So that show's a good one. That one's, if you're a podcaster, something to sink your teeth into. But then, of course, heard about the news out of Louisiana. And, you know, this is all this, you know, all this death. The police officers, individuals that are, you know, situations where someone is getting shot that shouldn't be. It really was weighing on me a lot, especially on Sunday. I was just really trying to, you know, think what to say. And I posted something on my Facebook, and I found something that Martin Luther King Jr. had said in the 60s, and it rung home. And I put that on my Facebook post as well. But it's scary what's going on out there. And I think we all can feel that there is an underlying rage in a lot of people. And I was talking with somebody, and they said, yeah, everybody's pissed off. And I'm like, okay, what do you mean, like everybody? And he says, yeah, I talk to people and they're just mad. They're just mad as hell. And it's kind of, I don't know what's driving it. I have some underlying ideas, but there's definitely some craziness going on. So let's try to love on one another as much as we can, and give each other hugs and do whatever we can. We gotta stop this craziness. It really is horrible what's happened with these officers and their families. And, you know, my heart goes out to law enforcement. And at the same time, I understand the frustration that certain community members are having. And it's definitely a crazy time. So we'll see what happens. But anyway, just want to mention it. It was weighing on my heart quite a little bit this weekend. And I'm sure that many of you felt the same way too. So, you know, and that kind of led to another thing too. I've had to take, starting this morning, I started noticing a lot of stuff on Facebook that was just, wow. I mean, like the political season turns people that are normally rational into, well, it brings out the worst in people. It really, really does. And sometimes I just wonder if, you know, if you know, and I've had to do this myself. I'm not necessarily not guilty, but from time to time, we type something on a keyboard. It might be a good idea just push the keyboard back for 5 minutes. And do you really want to press send on that post? And taking into consideration that, you know, in your circle, especially on Facebook, you probably have got a pretty good split on the political ecosphere, 50-50. And when you're saying disparaging things on either side, it can make those that you follow and those that you are friends with get really pissed off. And, you know, I try to do these hide content, and hoping that Facebook would learn. I don't want to see this stuff, but it just doesn't work. It still bubbles to the top. And I think I'm just, I have to take a little bit of a break, I think, from the daily news feed. And if you can't say something good, don't say anything at all, right, at this point? I think that, you know, and there's been a few things, and I just stop. So, yeah, I think let's all try for the next couple of months to do the best we can. In if you can't say something nice or disparaging, don't say it at all. And I think that that might help tone down across the whole. Of course, you know, we're just this audience. It's not, and I don't see bad things coming from the Ohana here, but it's. Sometimes there's stuff I just say, wow, really? Finally, before we get into the show content tonight, my two kids are basically when in the Navy, I had a bank account with Navy Federal Credit Union. And when we sign the kids up, we sign them for accounts and everything. And they both, of course, we set them up with access so that mom and dad could see them when they were growing up. And my son and daughter haven't removed us from their, you know, being a co-signer on their account or, you know, joint owner or whatever. So I get to see the account balances on my phone. And I just had this, I maybe shouldn't share it, but I had this text message with my daughter. And I said, hey, just wanted to say hi, but I noticed your cash flow is scaring me where you're spending all your money. And so you're putting in all these hours, but your balance is going down. Do we need to work on a budget? And she comes back, tells me, you know, she's getting a couple paycheck, couple significant paychecks. And then I said, you know, you're just a couple of weeks away of it, you know, being off work from being broke. And, you know, you have a negative cash spend right now and you're going a little too crazy. So the goal is to try have a, you know, 30 to 60 day, and I'd like to have a 90 day buffer. Trying to encourage her to come, you know, and we'll have a little dad daughter time and sit down and, you know, do a little, you know, lay it out and see where she's at. So how many of you parents are dealing with young adults and you are trying to help them with their cash flow? She hasn't had to come ask money for dad yet, but I see her Amazon purchases, and she keeps up the way she is. She's going to be needing a short-term loan from Papa, but don't want her to get into that, you know, burning as fast as it comes in. But that is what being young is about, right? And I keep thinking school, college starts in about a month. You have enough money for books. Anyway, it's all about that parenting thing. It never ends, does it? All right, so let's go ahead. And I've chattered enough. I'm sorry. But anyway, guys, thanks. Thanks so much here. I want to talk a little bit here about... the first thing I found tonight, it was a little bit of a scary article. And if you guys remember, last week, there was a court ruling where basically Microsoft won a case where they are not required to give information about a customer or a user that is stored in a foreign data center. In other words, if your data is sitting on a data center in Ireland versus in a data center in the United States, and the federal government comes and subpoenas Microsoft for the information in your account, if that data is sitting in Ireland, they technically, by this new court ruling, cannot force Microsoft to turn over that information. But there's an article over in Gizmodo that just is absolutely scaring the living hell out of me. According to the Wall Street Journal, a plan proposed by the Obama administration would allow the U.S. government to search corporate computers in the U.K. Now, listen to this. The plan proposed by the Obama administration would allow the U.S. government to search corporate computers in the UK while allowing the UK to do the same in the United States. The major caveat being that the searches could only be related to citizens of the country doing the searching. So the UK could not peer into the president's private accounts, and the US could not take a gander whatsoever by the prime minister's account, but they would allow fewer barriers. Now, remember, we just had a ruling where the Microsoft sued the Department of Justice to keep the U.S. government from serving secret search warrants to retrieve data held, but they're trying to push through legislation that will allow this. And I don't know if he's wanting to do a presidential decree to make this happen. And I don't know what this recent court ruling is going to do. But let's be very frank. Things get pretty murky here, in my opinion, when you allow the U.S. government to look on U.K. computers at information that's on their computers about U.S. citizens, and UK customers to look on US-based computer systems to look information up about UK citizens. This is incredible. Beyond clarinet hurdle, the Department of Justice will need approval of the U.S. legislature. The U.K. will need approval from its legislature as well. And things could get tricky here. The tech lobby, including Microsoft, Apple, and Google, oppose expanded abilities by government to search computer data overseas. When a powerful lobby is opposed to a plan, it makes a passing said plan very difficult. When asked for comment, Apple steered Gizmodo, who reported on this, towards a document called the Reform Government Surveillance Statement. The RGS statement neither condemns nor supports the proposed UK-US agreement. Instead, it simply urges a strong framework and respect for privacy. Microsoft, in addition to being opposed to the plan, actually supports another proposed piece of legislation called the International Communications Privacy Act. That legislation would, among other provisions, create a framework for law enforcement to obtain, listen to this, data from U.S. citizens regardless of where the person or data was located. So at the same time, Microsoft fought them off on this latest one. They're supporting this International Communications Privacy Act. Okay, now, let's just talk about a little bit about this in people setting up offshore accounts to hide money, tax fraud, you name it. There's a host of things that could be done for people trying to move their information outside the boundaries of the physical boundaries of the United States and digitally place that data somewhere else. I think there's already law and treaties in place that in conjunction, if they really want to go after someone, they can go to the country and, through the standard treaties, request that information. You know, it blows me away that this is actually under consideration. I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but what about you guys? And most of you are going to say, who cares, right? Many of you are going to say, I don't care if they look at my data. But it is an interesting move. And, with the internet, there's essentially no borders. If I want to play devil's advocate here a little bit, but at the same time, makes me really go, this is a deal they're working on. I just don't know about it. Well, what do you guys think? I'd love to hear your thoughts. Geeknews@gmail.com. Hey, just to let you know, it is literally about 90 in the studio right now. And I can just feel like the heat radiating off my forehead. And every time I turn the fan, because we don't run AC in the studio, all the windows are open. There's no breeze, very humid. Every time I kick the fan up to 4, you can hear it through the mic. So it's on 3, and I was just like, please give me some air in here. I'm dying. So if you're watching live, if I pass out, my phone number's on the website. You can call and get me medical help. If you're listening later, too late. I'm already dead. All right. There's a lawsuit that's been filed in that the FBI is being accused of using outdated IT to deliberately foil Freedom of Information Act request. This lawsuit alleges. Ryan Shapiro, a national security researcher and PhD candidate at MIT, has been studying the Freedom of Information Act for years, with a particular focus on noncompliance by government agencies. Already has multiple FOIA lawsuits in motion against the FBI, and earlier this month filed a new one. He's basically saying the FBI has a brand new system that they could use, but they use an old system so that it comes up with a limited data set to share. So this guy's had some success against the FBI. So Shapiro's request that the FBI turn over documents he says were withheld from him, waive the fees that tried to charge him, and covers attorney fees and other litigation expenses based upon them not using some of this newer search information. What the government collects and what they have on file, you can file a Freedom of Information Act request and on a specific topic. And sometimes, may get a document that's completely redacted and maybe only have a date on it, but you can request information from the government, and they are obligated to you know, look for that. You may have to pay a fee to get that information. But he says they're slow rolling because they're refusing to use new tech because it'll give out more info. So we'll see where this lawsuit leads and what is accomplished from it. This guy's had some success again, so we'll see. But it's just like the Government Records Act, and you having not allowed to delete stuff. All right, so let's go ahead and switch gears here, and this is an interesting announcement. Germany plans to require black boxes in self-driving cars. Self-driving cars in Germany might end up having black boxes that can record details of accidents similar to planes. Sources say that the proposal from Germany's transport minister, Alex Dobrindt, will require that riders stay seated in front of the steering wheel, though they won't have to pay attention to traffic or actually steer. As you probably guessed, right now, the legislation follows the recent Tesla autopilot-related driver death. Regulators and car companies alike will have to work even harder to prove the safety of self-driving systems. So let's think about this a little bit more. You know, fortunately, we have not had a car that is being driven on autopilot or automated, to our knowledge, kill another person. It will happen at some point. There will be an accident where the driver of the self-driving vehicle will survive and the passenger or passengers of the other vehicle will not. And at that point, we're going to watch something probably pretty remarkable happen in the U.S. court system. For the first time, we will end up having lawsuits where the manufacturer may be sued versus the driver for careless driving. I just can only imagine that we're going to see a lot of this stuff as we go forward. And if Germany is pushing forward, at least in their country, to have a black box, what that tells me is that they are going to be looking at that data to determine fault, just like they do in airplane accidents. They're going to reconstruct. They're going to find out if the vehicle crossed the line. They're going to find out if the vehicle didn't react to something in the road. And they're going to use that in their investigation to determine who bears liability. The proposal also will require the boxes to record data when self-driving modes are only turned on, not when they're turned off. And again, it's to determine exactly who is at fault during an accident. So what happens if you there's all kinds of scenarios. You go to the bar, you get hammered, you get in a vehicle and you tell your car to drive you home. Well, maybe that is about as good as an Uber or a taxi, but accident happens while you're on your way home and someone gets killed, or you're asleep when this accident happened. All the scenarios that can be built up. What's going to happen? Who's going to get sued? Is Tesla now going to have liability insurance for every vehicle it sells with autopilot and so forth? Gives you something to think about, doesn't it? It makes you go, and I think this, if liability is determined to be on the manufacturer, and we might be another 20 years before we get autopilot in vehicles more prevalent than it already is. Hey, congratulations to SpaceX. After a midnight Falcon 9 launch, they didn't blow her up on the pad. They've got it to orbit. It's chasing the International Space Station now, and they did an incredible landing. I have some images, but of course, like a knucklehead, do I have them in sequence today? No. But I will have that link up in the show notes. But they stuck the landing again. This makes the fifth rocket SpaceX has brought back and put on the pad. Matter of fact, they've brought so many back now, they're having trouble figuring out where to store them. But it's being told that they're going to potentially reuse the first bottom stage in August. It's already July, folks. So this is exciting if they're going to actually reuse a bottom stage. Now, I would wonder if they were going to do a test launch or if they're going to do a full launch or, what do they have to go through to certify, a rocket as safe and ready to go for, its number two punch to orbit? I think it's going to be an interesting time to watch. And I wonder if the insurance policies on those used rockets are higher than, you know, building brand new. But then again, you got tested technology, and essentially those motors are engines. So they have a certain amount of, you know, runtime they're allowed on them. I'd love to know the dynamics behind being able to reuse a rocket bottom stage. It definitely would be a good topic for them to talk about. I don't know if you remember, but Kepler's still out there, and their rebooted K2 mission has yielded another 104 new exoplanets. That brings the total up to like 200 and some. So this is a nice another round here. So congratulations to the Kepler team. But they found a number of body objects. They're talking about it today across the news wires. Microsoft has admitted that they're not going to make 10 billion installs of Windows 10 by 2018. They sure gave it the college try, and I will say that Windows 10 is a pretty awesome operating system for being a lifetime Windows user. I've not had any trouble with the actual software build. So anyway, we'll see where this leads and how many more they get over the next couple of years. And it may hurt their stock price just a little bit, especially they're getting ready to turn off the free upgrade. Interesting article on a site I've never been on. It's over at Kajer, KJAER.io. And it's talking about malware in the browser and how you might get hacked by a Chrome extension. So browsers, you know, are really, you know, I'm in one all day long, multiple tabs. And with web apps or everything, we placed our most intimate details and intimate data online services such as Facebook, Amazon, Gmail, and so forth. And we know that this move to online services required that we up our security of online services and using HTTPS and a variety of other two-factor authentication and so forth. But it appears that what's being targeted now is a new attack vector against browsers, specifically browser extensions. They're probably the most unregulated territory in the browser ecosystem because Google doesn't certify extensions as being quote unquote safe. And what this gentleman has found is that he saw one of his buddies doing some clicks on some articles. He thought, this guy normally doesn't do this kind of activity. And being the researcher he was, he followed some of the links, and sure enough, it landed him on a page that was forcing him to basically install an age verification extension. It was called Viral Content Age Verify. And what this extension was nothing but malware. There was no age verification per se. It was purely designed to get a individual to install the extension and essentially be owned by the extension and download data and install a bunch of stuff. It was actually pretty ugly. Now, why isn't that article loading? Let me click this again. I have a young man that I told tonight that he was not to be using the internet while I was doing the show. Specifically not playing League of Legends tonight. And the way my internet is loading right now, unless this site is not getting a lot of traffic or getting too much traffic, well, it won't load. It's just the browser sitting there spinning, which is not a good sign. But anyway, I'll have the link up in the show notes to this site. And it talks about a variety of extensions that are pretty naughty right now, and Google has taken them down, but they were up for a while, and about 120,000, essentially 120,000 sites, or 120,000 folks got hacked, or had this extension added to their computer without them really knowing about it. So just be careful. Don't be saying yes to allow any type of extension to load on your computer if you don't haven't requested initially on your own. NASA is excited to share the unprocessed images that comprise the Approach movie acquired by JunoCam as the Juno spacecraft approached Jupiter. So it's a pretty big load of that page loaded fast. So it must have been a bug on that page I was on. But anyway, they've made these images available. There are 1,300 still images that were acquired over a 17-day period. It's just a bunch of downloads that you have to pull them down. I think there's like 13 zip files with all of them in there. But if you want to download them, they're available. They've made them available for you to take a look yourself, and you can make your own movie. We linked to it in the last episode of the show. So just be aware that you can actually go watch it. You don't have to download the images yourself. Well, this is a first. And some fellow is facing $37,500 in fines. This knucklehead decided that he was going to fly his drone during a wildfire in California. He very stupidly took video of it and then put it up on social media. So this gentleman, Eric Wamser, 57, of Forest Hill, California, is being charged with interfering with firefighting operations. And again, the way they caught him was he posted on social media and they were able to track him down from that. And he did shut down the flight operations for a little while. And this gentleman was allegedly flying his drone over the fire commonly called the Trailhead Fire on the eve of June 28th. That fire has burned over 5,600 acres, currently 98% contained. And he's got a misdemeanor from the fire department, but he'll have a pesky little company called the FAA to deal with. And they are going to come after him. Yes, the fine is $37,500 for being a knucklehead. And a knucklehead he is, and we're glad to see him get his fine. And maybe it'll take some folks and make them think a little bit. Hey, Dave Weiner over at scripting.com wrote an interesting follow-up to a blog post that he wrote in 2014, specific talking about coders and specifically talking about Twitter's, what he's calling, bottled lightning. He is a real true believer that if Twitter would release their 140 character limit, that it could really make a lot of people like me post longer segments of content over there, linking back to maybe full articles. It's very, very difficult to get a message out or a portion of the message or maybe even the complete message without going every limit. Now, sometimes you can basically take the image of your content and basically embed that on to beat the 140 character limit. But it's a lot of work to do it. But he's got a lot of good points in this particular article talking about where Twitter could be if they just open up the 140 character limit. For the sysadmins out there, there's a 15-year security hole in HTTP proxy. And it's pretty nasty. So if you're the IT guy and you're working on the Apache server and running the Linux installs, you're going to want to take a look at this article. This HTTP proxy, or they're calling it POXY, POXY, is very malicious and essentially can own your server. So I'll have that link up in the show notes for the IT guys that listen to the show. Also, have you ever seen like a lighthouse light bulb or a studio, one of these big studio light bulbs? Well, if you want to know what 1,000 suns really look like in real life, there's this guy that tested a 20,000 watt light bulb to full world scorching power, drawn a whopping, listen to this, most of you don't have enough power on your, if you shut everything off in your house, most of you have 100 amp breaker box, maybe 120 amp breaker box. This guy this crazy dude has a 100-amp line. It's about, the line's about an inch in diameter, because this 20,000-watt halogen light bulb drew a whopping 93 amps of power to run it up to its full glory. And he basically almost had to take cover in his own building because it was so hot. Oh, come on. What is wrong here? Why aren't you? Once in a while, these websites. I want to load your article so I can show the audience. This is over at sploy.gizmodo.com. So I copy the link and I paste it in, and then it loads a whole bunch of crap. Okay, that's finally good now. So let me show it to you guys. And this is just for those of you who are watching. You can see a little bit of what it, and it just completely whites out his room. But it also shows him turning this thing on in the backyard, turning night into day. So for the geeks of you out there, if you want to see what a 20,000-watt light bulb actually looks like, I've got it for you to check out. So for the rest of you, I have a link up in the show notes. Next thing up is tennis balls. You ever see how a tennis ball's made? I have a video for you. It's not geeky, but it's cool to watch. And more fascinating than hitting golf tennis balls. I can absolutely assure you of that. Now, one thing, whenever you hear about the military, you typically hear about them, some of the tech that they're using is a little bit behind in the times. But there's an article out on DODBuzz.com saying the U.S. Army Special Operations Command is dumping its Android tactical smartphone for an iPhone model. The iPhone 6S will become an end-user device for the iPhone Tactical Assault Kit. That sounds pretty impressive. Special Operations Forces version of Army's NetWarrior Battlefield Situational Awareness Tool, according to an Army source. The ITAC replaced the Android Tactical Assault Kit, and they're basically saying they're replacing it with the iPhone because the Android freezes up and crashes. And, of course, they're apparently getting video from some sort of unmanned aerial system. And using the phone, they say the graphics are clear and unbelievable. So iPhones are coming to U.S. Army Special Operations Command, according to this article over at DODBuzz.com. So cool, cool stuff. All right, what else? Oh, I didn't know about this. We probably all have heard this in the news. And again, I'm not a car buff guy, but apparently nobody's happy when they have to pay more money for the same thing. And that's what manufacturers are about to experience. So the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration is set to jack up the fines related to not meeting annual fuel economy targets. Now, we know that the goal of the current administration is to have vehicles by 2025 be able to sustain 54.5 miles per gallon. But at this point, they have to meet certain guidelines every year as we approach 2025. If they don't meet that, and this is what VW got into so much trouble with, the fine, check this fine out. Listen to this. The new fine will cost $14 for every 0.1 miles per hour behind the target. So if you were 1 mile per hour, or 1 mile per gallon, it's 0.1 mile per gallon behind the target, it's $14. Or 1 mile per gallon, $140, actually more than that. Yeah, $140. What they would do is every vehicle that missed the benchmark, that's what the fine is. So for example, the Jaguar Land Rovers paid the highest fines over the 2010-2014 a period totaling some $46.2 million when the fine was only $5.50. So starting this year, the fine goes to $14 for every 0.1 mile per gallon behind the target. So what is that going to mean for all of us? Well, if they had to meet 25, and the vehicle is actually, let's say they had to meet 19, and the vehicle is 21, so we could expect probably to pay an additional $280 for that vehicle, because the car manufacturer missed the fleet average that they're supposed to be at this year. So the fines are just going to continue to go up. They're making it very, very painful for the car manufacturers if they don't meet the mile per gallon requirement. So just a little information. If you're looking, you know, they could, you know, the price of your vehicle could go up $1,000, and you may not know why, but that may be it. Tesla's also saying they're going to make significant upgrades to the autopilot driver assistance system. Apparently, Bosch and Mobileye have got an upgrade for their system, and they're going to do some sort of over-the-air update to autopilot. So we'll see where this leads. So they're under some pressure, so they must have went back to the manufacturer and said, we need this to be better. And just like anything else, with time and a little more data, they can make it a little bit better. For you Star Trek fans out there, and no, I can't do it. Paramount has greenlit a fourth Star Trek movie, and that's awesome. So, doesn't say when it's going to go into production. Deadline reports the plot will revolve largely around Captain Kirk's relationship with his father. The news comes just as Star Trek Beyond is about to hit 30s this Friday. Of course, Beyond was directed by Justin Lin. No director's been attached to the new movie yet. So Star Trek continues to move forward. Game of Thrones. Oh, man, they're making me mad. The next season of Game of Thrones will officially debut later than usual. And with fewer episodes, HBO has confirmed the season will air only 7 episodes next summer instead of the usual 10. They believe that there may be about 15 episodes left in the series. So if you're a Game of Thrones fan, looks like we may have just a couple of years left to figure out who is going to sit on the Iron Throne. But I hope they squeeze a few more episodes out. But I think we're all excited to see where the story's going. Hey, Department of Defense has issued OPSEC for safe and secure Pokemon hunting. A buddy of mine actually sent me a PAC Forces directive that basically warns everyone, don't have your camera on if you're doing stuff on base. But anyway, the DoD issued guidelines, I guess, for their employees, and lays down some safety rules, and you know, gives them some warnings, and don't go places and fences and areas that are restricted. You know, you can't, you know, that's one thing I want to tell you guys. You get on a DoD installation and it has a sign that says deadly force is authorized. You go beyond that point or force your way into an area where it says deadly force is authorized. They don't have to ask you to stop, halt, or nothing. They can just shoot you on the spot. I'm just telling you. Okay, when you see those signs on DoD facilities where it says deadly force is authorized, they mean it. And typically, those signs are around areas that you don't want to be around anyway, because it's usually related with something that goes boom. So, you know, don't crawl up any fences and any DoD areas. It's not going to end well for you, I'm telling you. But anyway, they give out some guidelines here, and I'll have the link up in the show notes for you to check it out. All right. Oh, this is cool for the super geeks listening. Listen to this. Atomic scale memory can store 500 times more than today's best hard drive. Dutch researchers have discovered a method of storing atom-sized bits on copper with a density of 500 terabytes per square inch, 500 times more dense than the best commercial hard disk currently available. In theory, this storage template would allow all books ever created by humans to be written on a single postage stamp. Wow. I don't know how easy it is to read or write, or if you need like a supercomputer to do it. Oh, there is a catch. Yes, there is a catch. There always is. This will not be coming to a computer near you soon. The memory only works in temperatures achieved through the use of liquid nitrogen or minus 321 degrees Celsius. The engineer said, now that the team has discovered a method using chlorine and copper, it will look for methods using other material that might be able to store bits at room temperature. So, wow, it's still pretty cool if you think about it. Atomic scale memory. It's storing atoms the size of an atom. That's what they're using for the zeros and ones. Is that wild or what? This is talking about some irony in this. A mayor who sued his own city over public record has been requested and or actually ordered to turn over official emails stashed in his private email account. So this guy in a little town was trying to get some information, and they would countersue and back and forth. And ultimately, the court basically said, turn over your documents that are stored on your private account. So he's going to probably end up being prosecuted for a variety of things. And he's in a battle with a reporter. So here you got this little city official turning over his email. That may result in some very negative things happening to him. And those emails weren't even classified. Volkswagen is going to compensate dealerships after diesel scandal. Well, Volkswagen dealerships are probably getting pounded, a.k.a. no sales. Have any of you bought a Volkswagen since the scandal broke out? If you have, tell me why, which model you bought, why do you trust them now, why did you go VW versus something else? geeknews@gmail.com. Love to hear your reasoning. Did you get a great deal? Did they sell something to you at rock bottom prices? I'd love to know. Over on The Verge, there's a very, very cool tool. How many of you have black and white images that maybe were from families or from the 60s or when you were, you know, those of you that are my age, when you were shooting stuff and it was just in black and white? I have a bunch of photo albums with just black and white stuff. I've scanned, literally thousands of those images. But there's a new site that will instant colorize your black and white photos. Now, you have to paste the URL of a black and white image and tap colorize it on the specific tool that they have. And it'll colorize the image, and then you can save the image in the color version that it created. So, I haven't tried this yet. I'm sure your mileage is going to vary on how well it does. But I know there's probably some other tools out there that colorize black and white stuff. But if you don't have one of those tools, you can do this online through this online tool. So very, very exciting. Netflix is great, but appears that Netflix may be considering to allow subscribers to download and listen or watch videos on demand later when you don't have a connection. Amazon has already allowed you to do that for a while. So that's cool. Netflix has had a little bit of, well, we'll talk about Netflix in their earnings report here in a minute, but that's something that may be coming to Netflix in the near future. Hey, Ted Cruz campaigns infringe on copyright, but you know, they're basically being accused of not paying the rate for political. You can license music, but oftentimes there's an exclusion saying you can't use it for political purposes. And they did, and it's a $25,000 liquidated damages clause that was in the agreement that the media company that the Cruz presidential campaign worked with. So looks like that Cruz is going to have to use about $50,000 of his $8 million he has left in his campaign fund to pay up the copyright owner on these two musical clips. Same may be happening from some music that Trump used tonight at the national, at the Republican National Committee meeting. That's all over the internet tonight, where We Are the Champions author said we didn't license that to him. So we'll see if the Trump campaign has to pay up too. Wikipedia, or excuse me, WikiLeaks, which I've never been to, never been to that site, is under sustained attack after announcing release of about 300,000 Turkey emails and 500,000 documents related to the failed Turkish coup on Friday. They believe that the email and the denial of service attack may be coming from the Turkish government itself. Also, Netflix had an earnings report, wasn't too good. I think their raised prices caused people that were on the fence to say, oh, my price went up, I need to cancel. So they've lost some people. Guess what? Netflix is going to be fine. You know, the usage is just going to continue to go up. More people are cutting the cord. You know, this is, in my opinion, is a great buy opportunity now that the stock dropped a little bit today because of their earnings report. They're doing great stuff, great series. So I'm not worried about them at all. I think that they have a very, very bright future ahead. Now, HBO is reporting record viewership as well in its HBO Go offering and HBO On Demand services. So a lot of people taking advantage of those particular, you know, subscription services to be able to buy them outside of the regular, regular television or regular, cable systems that you do now. Airbus is using a drone to speed up aircraft inspections. And I'll be honest with you. When I was home in Michigan, my mom and I got to looking at the barn that she uses for her produce business. And that barn was built when I was 13 years old. So it's about 40 years old. The roof has been painted. It's a steel building. But built very uniquely, but the roof's been on it 40 years, and we've repainted the roof several times. You go through and treat bad spots and so forth. But I was looking at the roof and I said, I'm concerned about this area. And one of the gentlemen that helps my mom with some of the maintenance around the house and on the buildings and stuff and with the vehicles, he and I were sitting out there looking. I said, well, let me just, got my drone out and I took off and I flew the drone over the building at 4 or 5 feet off the top of the roof and filmed in 4K the section of the roof that we were worried about. And while I was at it, I did the whole roof. I basically did three passes on each side, going very slowly. We went in the house. I loaded the video up on my laptop, and we sit there and we watched, and we didn't have to crawl up 32 feet to get on the roof, but we inspected the roof, and him and I came to the conclusion that nope, we weren't going to need to replace the roof, but it could use a coat of paint. So it just, from the angle we were looking at, we're thinking, oh man, the roof needs to be replaced, and it was just a little bit of an optical illusion. It really wasn't the case, but Airbus is using drones to speed up aircraft inspections. So what used to take a 2-hour job, they can do in basically about 10 minutes. So aircraft inspection is one of the best things operators can do to ensure safety in flight. I trust my roof with my drone, but I don't know if I would trust inspecting an aircraft. But they're using something called an Intel RealSense camera, and it snaps photos. And the images are then applied to a 3D model of the aircraft that allow the inspector to get a close, detailed look at the subject. It still takes a while to inspect the digital model, but in all, it's much faster. Gathering the inspection data by hand takes up to 2 hours. Using a drone takes 10 to 15 minutes, and they can review it. So this could give the inspector an idea. Yeah, we need to go, double check. Because what happens with airplanes? They get exfoliation, they're flying, they're subjected to, being washed down on the ramp. It's the skin of an aircraft gets a lot of abuse and that often induces corrosion. So, they have to take a close look, and even on new airplanes, to make sure that, because if a little bit of exfoliation happens. This thing just, you know, just explodes. And next thing you know, you're patching an airplane. So, very cool that they're doing inspections with a drone. Very, very smart. And if they got a high enough, quality camera to do it, it should be just as good as looking at it with your eyeball. All right, server capacity is delayed. Japanese Pokemon Go launch. Matter of fact, they had a denial of service attack this weekend. That some hackers that recently went after Mark Zuckerberg and Sundar Pichai and Jack Dorsey and so forth, they basically made Pokemon Go very difficult to play over the weekend. Also, there's a new application called Poke Radar that shows where to find and catch them all. Catch a variety of Pokemons. I'm not playing it, thank God. But more importantly, in some weirdo news tonight, as we roll the end of the show up here, over in Coast to Coast AM, there's an article about a massive UFO that's been filmed in Kenya. And let me tell you, it looks like a real fake. It's a 19-second video. I'll have it up. It'll give you a good laugh. It was spotted in Nairobi, Kenya. It looks like a very foggy day. I didn't know they had fog in Nairobi, but I guess so. But this guy was pointing at something, and yet this, you know, whatever it was not a UFO. Good graphics editing. Also, there is Pokemon in and around near Area 51, but I wouldn't advise crossing that fence. They do have one of those signs that basically says Deadly Force is authorized, so that's probably not a good place to go play Pokemon Go. And finally, a photo that's freaking people out. I can show you this. This is up on Huffington Post. It's a picture of Mike Pence, Governor Mike Pence of Indiana, who, of course, has been announced as Donald Trump's running mate. He was eating breakfast somewhere with his family. And apparently there's a mirror. It's one of those kind of divided areas. But everyone got freaked out because you can see the governor's reflection, and you can see his wife's reflection, but his daughter's reflection is dun, 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 not there. And everyone's asking, did she get photoshopped in or whatever? But if you look at this on the surface and really look at the angles, you'll kind of figure it out. But let me just tell you, I understand why people got just a little bit freaked out on this particular photo and may have thought that the governor's daughter didn't have a reflection in the mirror. Oh, man, the stuff that the internet puts together. And, you know, you guys know that I saw two UFOs. I stand by my story. They are the real deal. Absolutely, unequivocally, that's what I saw. And I know it was the real deal. I didn't have a cell phone back then to take a picture. I wish I would have. But that's going to bring us... Oh, I've got a couple of emails that come in. One was from Nancy. And Nancy, I don't think, is very happy with me. But she says, Todd, I can respect how you feel about Edward Snowden. I disagree with your position based mostly on your reasons for it. Although I don't think I could have made the disclosure. But you keep saying that he put service members' lives at risk, and I fail to see how. Here's a list of 10 things he disclosed over time, and if you know of more, please tell me which ones put service members' lives at risk. Now, let me just, I'm not going to go through Nancy's list of 10 things. But any time information is disclosed about methodologies that are used to get whatever information that methodology is using, when that is disclosed and that information is no longer privately held, whenever that information gets out in the wild, what happens is the enemy, whether it be ISIS fighters or foreign governments or whatever, they go through this documentation and they study it. They figure out what the government was doing, and they close those loopholes. And essentially what then happens is an individual, now the advantage is no longer in the hands of the people that held the information. The advantage is in the enemy's hands. And so then the government has to work that much harder to try to figure things out. So back in World War II, there was a saying, loose lips sink ships. And just the mere fact of talking about something, where a ship was going, what a ship was capable of, the speed, whatever, gave the enemy information that they could use to be used, number one, against you, or number two, be, exploited. So, again, I'm not going to go through your list and try to say, because I have not read basically what I've only seen off of the internet. I don't go through and read these documents. I have never done that. Just basically, I've seen headlines, just like, I know many of you probably dug into these things deep, but I'm just telling you that anytime there's inadvertent disclosure of sensitive information, it's no longer, because people can speculate all day long, right? They can assume, maybe they can do this, or maybe they can do that, but there's real no confirmation. And, oftentimes you'll hear government people say, I cannot confirm or deny, right? And they basically leave it open in the air. But what this individual did was he betrayed the government's trust. And whether you, and some people think he's a hero for what he has done, and I understand a lot of people think he's a hero. I personally think he's a traitor. I think he should be brought back to this country and tried and thrown into a deep, deep cave. I'm surprised he already doesn't have three bullets to the back of his head, to be quite honest with you. Probably the reason that he isn't dead is probably because he's got information that he's hanging on to as an insurance policy. But he is a traitor, and some people are going to call him a hero. But as an American, if you're an American citizen, and even though you may not like what the government has done, they had a reason for it. And again, I'm not here to argue or to just say, but he betrayed his government's trust. He betrayed his agreement that he had with the government. And for that, he has to pay a price. It's just, it can't stand. There are millions of people that are in the United States that hold a security clearance, and they are obligated, many of them, for the lifetime, not just while they work someplace. They're obligated for a lifetime to not disclose information that they have learned and talk about anything that they were associated with that may lead to some sort of disclosure. So what he has caused is a disclosure and giving up data that he wasn't supposed to share. So thus giving the adversaries of the United States information that they shouldn't have had, and probably making it much, much unsafer for not only military, but the anyone that works in government service to do their job and do it effectively and do it safely. So that is, again, why. And again, I'm not going to go through a list of stuff that he's done. The sheer basic fact that he broke the trust that he had with the government and shared information that was the United States government had deemed sensitive to me is, and the way he did it it qualifies in basic from, again, you got to remember my perspective of having been in the military for 24 years. And it changes things. When the walkers, which were, if you go back, and I don't know if this was in the 80s, but the father and son who sold information to the Soviets took information about the Navy systems and sold that to the Soviets. That was devastating. What they did, what they disclosed, and it really made it a negative impact. So you know, those two guys are still in jail. You know, they're not. I don't think they're ever due to get out, to be honest with you, because they truly, what they did hurt the United States in a big, big way. Matter of fact, if you think about it from a taxpayer standpoint, you as a taxpayer have paid to have the government do what they do to, and you may not assume this is the case, but to protect you. And now the government, that investment of the, of what has been spent to protect you, let's just, you know, using the generalist of terms, is now insignificant. It's non-consequential. It's been compromised. So, you know, and I think we'll have to agree to disagree on this. But I have to stick my guns on this one here. And we'll see what happens as time moves on. But I very much doubt, you know, you even look on the political spectrum, no matter, you know, what you think about either Trump or Hillary Clinton, both of them are in agreement on what should happen to Edward Snowden. So he's not going to get a pass from whatever new administration is coming on. But anyway, I went way too deep into this, but that's my two cents worth. So anyway, let's bounce out of here. And everyone, thanks for being part of the Ohana here. And I love these types of emails. But you also have to understand, based upon I don't go and read documents that have been released like this. It's just, and if you know, that's your choice, but it's definitely not something that, that I do. Just because, I guess old habits die hard. Anyway, that's it. Geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Everyone, thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the Ohana. Love to hear your commentary on this. Nancy, thank you for being a part of the Ohana. We'll have to agree to disagree, okay? Everyone, take care. We'll see you next time here on the Geek News Central podcast. Take care. Aloha.